Blog Talk Radio.
To the 110 Nation Sports Show. I am your host, Mr. CJ Sports. Glad to be back in the Carolina Sports Plus studio here on this hump day. Honestly, I'm just glad this week is already halfway over. Got Mario. I'm going to get here in the studio in here in 1 second. We got our NBA expert, Jay Spearman, joining us as well. It's been a long week. The wife, her grandma, basically at this point is just living hour to hour. She has been in the hospital and with hospice since last Wednesday. I actually got to experience it firsthand. They say medically there's really no reason that she is still alive. She is an 8 and now at this point about 2 weeks, no IVs in the last 7 days. Really the only thing she is receiving at this point is just basically medication to keep her comfortable until she is ready to go. That's all firsthand today. You hear things and you don't ever assume anybody is just making up stories. And never did I assume. But I was there firsthand today and watched her get to a point where the breathing got very shallow. The heart rate, once again, got you couldn't hardly get a heart rate. They say every day for the last at least week, at least once a day, if not multiple times a day, she has stopped breathing. The heart has stopped. They assumed that that was it. They said their goodbyes, and she starts breathing again. She did that again today. They were all preparing, got quiet. Everybody's watching what looked like was the last breath. Then my wife's grandpa rolls into the room, and all of a sudden her eyes opened up, and she starts making noises. And everybody was like, all right, how is this possible? The doctors can't even explain this. With all that going on, I have been taking care of everything on the backside, the kids, the house, working and everything. So I'm just at this point glad we're halfway through this week. It's been a long 7 to 10 days at this point. And I know I have no place to complain because the wife, she ain't home till midnight last night because they said they're failed where I was last night because it happened last night as well. Who knows what time she's coming home tonight. She's been there since first thing this morning. So it's been a long week. And so I'm just glad to have an opportunity to kind of sit in the studio, get my right hand, Mario, in here, get Jay in here. We're going to go through the NBA. And a lot of it's going to be them taking over as I've gotten the topics together. But outside of football, where I had a chance to sit down, and not even to mention that dryer's gone out, so wash clothes in one house, run across to the other side of town to dry clothes at my mom's house, and then my mom wanted me to haul firewood, which she said, hey, would you go get this firewood? It's right around the corner. There's enough for both of us to have a couple little campfires, you know, fires out back. We do fire pits. So I'm like, sure, no problem. I go to pick it up, and it's a whole bed truck full of wood, not just enough for a couple of fires. There's enough. I don't even want to go into how much firewood was there. Both kids soccer. I could tell that I hadn't ran in a good hot minute because the oldest who plays top soccer, it's a league for special needs. They did the parents versus the team, and I ran around for an hour. I'm telling you what, just taking me 2 full days not to hurt. Eric, go on to the list of things that it has been for this last week. So I'm just glad to have a chance to kind of sit down. Monday, I was on the 110 Nation Race Chat Live exclusive. We had Dr. Patrick Starpoli on. He had been on before, race car driver, now doctor. Had a phenomenal interview with him. Glad that we had a chance to sit down. But very excited about tonight. Very excited to listen to the guys. I'm going to try to participate as much as I can on the NBA. I did my best to keep up with college football and the NFL. Got a lot in that area that I'm going to jump into. But I am going to let the guys kind of take over, throw my two cents in here and there on the topics tonight. I went ahead and gave them the topics so they had a chance to prepare for this. But looking forward to another great show. Let me go ahead and get Mario in here first and let him let you guys know where he can be found, social media, website, where he is at, so you guys can go get some of this great product from Carolina Sports Plus. Mario, how are you doing tonight? And let them know where you can be found.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good today. Glad to be back in the studio on this Wednesday talking sports with NBA, with Jay, and going over our football picks and things. But you can
check
Carolina Sports Plus out.
That's just because
Sports
you had
Plus
a good
out.
Weekend on your picks. I know why you're happy about it.
It feels good to, catch up. You know what I mean? I've been down.
Catch up,
but
pass me.
I definitely,
6 weeks,
yeah,
and now you finally passed me.
Yeah. So this is going to be an interesting show today. But you can catch Carolina Sports Plus out on Instagram and Facebook and also on YouTube. You can like us online. You can shop with us online, CarolinaSportsPlus.com. This coming weekend, if you're in the Fayetteville area, we'll be at the Dogwood Festival this Saturday and Sunday with some good, interesting things. And we can talk sports and shop around a little bit.
Oh, good old Dogwood Festival. Been a long time. But anyway, let's go ahead and get Jay Spearman into the studio. Let's get things rolling. Jay, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, brother. Before I get too much into what I want to say, first things first, man, condolences to your prayers to your family. I'm really, really praying for you, man. The last thing you ever want to go into, a sports show like you're about to have tonight, unfortunate news, but you know, man, my prayers are with you. Like, really, really, I mean that from the bottom of my heart, man.
Thank you.
Well, definitely.
Yeah. It's been a rough week. I really feel bad because her grandma's who raised her, because her mom wasn't there, so her grandma taught her everything. And I feel like I could see when I was there, and we're going to get into sports real quick. I could see all of them, like, they have said their goodbyes, like, already, like, five times, because that was supposed to be it. The breathing had stopped, and now you could just see them, like, they don't know what to do, because medically, it should have already been done and over with, and it's her will at this point. The only thing is keeping her alive. Like I said, they're not doing anything but just making her comfortable. And it's just like today when she stopped breathing and it looked like that was it. Everybody just didn't know how to react. Everybody just sitting there. Then all of a sudden, Grandpa comes rolling in the room and it's like all of a sudden there's life again. So I feel really bad for them because it's just like this emotional roller coaster ride. They get these goodbyes out, these tears out. Everybody's hugging each other. Then all of a sudden it's like, and she starts breathing again. So I feel so bad for them. But I do appreciate it, and everybody out there, just keep praying. There is no reversal on, because the lungs are filled with fluids and everything. There's no reversing, so all the prayers at this point, it won't save her grandma. It almost had to be like the coming of Jesus in order to save her, but I'm more focused on them and their sanity. And them just wore out and everything else at this point. So, and how everybody, especially the grandkids or the great-grandkids, are going to handle all this, because pretty tight family on that side, on her family side. But let's get into sports. NBA. First topic out the gate is James Harden. He has missed practice. I don't think any of us are really surprised. I'm going to let you lead the way with this, Jay, your thoughts on this. What needs to happen? I know what James Harden wants to happen, and I think we all know what really should be right and what he was told was going to happen if he signed the contract. But we also know what didn't happen. What needs to happen? What does the NBA or the Philadelphia 76ers or what just needs to happen? How do we rectify this? How does all parties move forward? And is there any light at the end of the tunnel in your opinion on this?
So, you know, here's my thing. Two things, really. First of all, Adam Silver needs to grow a set and, you know, put his foot down on, you know, this behavior. Just, I'm sorry, but it's true, this behavior like this. Because, you know, if you recall, Adam Silver had this big issue with Damian Lillard trying to force his way to Miami and made that apparent that, you know, like that wasn't going to happen. Yet you're allowing James Harden to do the stuff that he's doing. And I'm not saying that James Harden is wrong at his reasoning. You know, he has trust issues with Daryl Morey. You know, Daryl Morey promised him money. He didn't get paid. And, you know, his whole thing is, I'll never play for a team that Daryl Morey is a part of. And that's all great and good. But we've seen James Harden do this time and time again. He cried his way out of Houston. He cried his way out of Boston. He cried his way to Philly. And, like, he's continuously, like, it's becoming that prima donna behavior that's given the NBA a negative light. And quite frankly, I don't know if either one of you watch All the Smoke podcast with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. It's actually one of my favorite podcasts to watch. And, you know, they made it very much clear. With a guy like James Harden, he's going to mess around, cry his way out of the NBA entirely, prematurely, way too soon. Because the NBA is notorious for making examples out of players who feel like they're better than the NBA. I'll give you a prime example. And even though it wasn't warranted, it was still an example. And that would be Carmelo Anthony. If you remember with Carmelo Anthony, he cried about having to come off the bench for a while. What did that happen? He was blackballed from the NBA for two seasons, had to take a sweet veteran deal to go to Portland, and then that's how he ended his career, the Carmelo Anthony. So if it can happen to Carmelo Anthony, what makes James Harden think that it can't happen to him? My suggestion to a James Harden, just play ball, man. Play ball. Prove that you still got what's left in the tank. Prove that you still have, like, a little bit of a value left in you. And then at that point, now you can call more shots because he's not proving anything to me. You're talking about a guy who's inconsistent in the playoffs. He has a game to where he drops 40. Then he has a game to where he plays subpar. The 76ers do absolutely nothing with him and Joel Embiid. And a lot of that is due to James Harden. So he really doesn't have as much of a voice that he thinks he has. And quite frankly, to an NBA fan, it's just annoying to me.
I would disagree with one thing. I'm going to give Mario's thoughts. The inconsistency. I don't know. I think he's pretty consistent of shriveling up and disappearing when the games actually matter in the playoffs.
Okay, yeah.
But I get your point, though. Mario, your thoughts on this whole situation?
Yeah, I'm definitely leaning the same way as both of y'all. But it's just making it hard to root for James Harden. You know what I mean? Even root for him or be on the same team with him. You know what I mean? Because you never know if you're getting somebody's 100%. You know what I mean? And then with the NBA players making so much money, feeling entitled. You know what I mean? I think it's just the way it just makes the league look bad, in my opinion. But as far as him sitting down and not coming to practice, you know, he does have to grow up. You know what I mean? And when you're looking at it as far as the working person looking at the games while he's getting paid, it just doesn't feel right.
No, and you know, just to chime in, like you've been.
Go ahead.
So, you know, my thing is with this type of situation, you got to really, really toe the fine line because you don't want to come off sounding like Laura Ingram with shut up and dribble. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, quite frankly, you're not really sending a message by missing practice. You're letting your team down. You got guys who are looking up to you on that team. I'll throw one name out there, Matisse Thybulle, who just credited James Harden on being an excellent leader. Now look at the example that you're setting for guys in the league. You're telling them that this type of play is okay, yet you are sitting here trying to sit, like you're sitting here trying to say that you're deserving of something. That might be true, but at the end of the day, this is not how you get that message across. You lead by example.
I agree. And what makes Harden think that anybody is going to want to trade for you if you don't get your way, this is how you're going to act? And I understand some of what's going on is justifiable, and I'm not going to say all of it. And I don't even care for Harden. I was like, I can't. As a matter of fact, I can't even stand watching Harden. But if you sit there and you miss these practices and you carry yourself a certain way, why would anybody want to bend over backwards trying to get you on the team, figure out a way? And what would motivate a team? Look, you know, if I'm Harden, I'm going in and I'm busting my butt, regardless of whether I'm going to be on the team or not. At least now I got a leg to stand on. Look, I don't want to be part of this organization. I don't like how they handled my contract. There's a little shady stuff or whatever, just based off his opinion. I'm not saying this is all what – but if that's his mind frame, I'm still coming to work. I'm still putting my all – I'm still in basketball shape. We've seen him not do the whole basketball thing and going to Brooklyn and not be in basketball shape. Like, why would you put yourself behind everybody else in the league and not be ready and not prove that, look, I'm going to do what I got to do and overcome and give my 100%, somebody trade for me? Because at this point, you're really holding no value to anybody. You're just showing everybody, if I don't get my way, I'm going to be a pain in everybody, a thorn in everybody's side and get myself out of basketball shape. And that's just, to me, not what you – where you need to be, especially at your age, because it only gets harder. We're all getting up there in age. All three of us are pretty close in age. We know what a cheeseburger 15, 20 years would have done versus what a cheeseburger does today, how much it takes to get it off. So I don't know why. But anyway, we got about 5 more minutes. I want to get through these topics real quick. How are your guys' thoughts? I've seen some really good action with CP3 on Golden State. I've seen some, and I've heard a lot of great things, and people are really noticing what Golden State and how that chemistry has come together. And I've also seen some highlights of the Milwaukee new team with Dame out there. I'm going to start with you, Mario, this time. Your thoughts on Golden State, how they're looking with CP3 in their rotation?
Oh yeah, it's definitely gonna be interesting. You know, with Chris Paul and having Steph Curry not dribbling the ball and running through screens with Klay Thompson and them, it's gonna take it back to the Mark Jackson days. You know what I mean? Where he's gonna get some good shots without have to worry about setting up the offense. But you know, we're gonna have to see what the big boys do down there. Hopefully they can stay healthy, because they're gonna definitely need them. You know, without getting in foul trouble and getting rebounds, because there will be some bricks going off with all them jump shots that's going to be flying.
Your thoughts, Jay, what you've seen so far?
Two things. So, you know, first things first, Mario hit the keyword right there on the head, healthy. As long as this team can stay healthy, you're talking about a pretty good playoff run. You're talking about, honestly, the best score that Chris Paul's ever had the chance to pass the ball to, and Steph Curry. And then you also got, you know, one of the best in Klay Thompson, you know, as long as Klay Thompson stays consistent. You know, here's the truth, man. If Golden State was in the Eastern Conference, you're talking about a finals appearance. Because the only thing that's not really stopping them is, you know, maybe Milwaukee, maybe Boston, but I would still favor Golden State in that end. However, we're in the Western Conference, and it's just extremely competitive. So, you know, it's a lot left to be seen, but I do love the concept of inside-out game between Steph Curry and Chris Paul. You got a guy who's automatic from mid-range. You got a guy who's dang near automatic from three-point. And then you forget, I keep saying two, we forget Klay Thompson still exists. We forget Draymond Green still has his value. You know, we forget some of the young guys, Kuminga, you know, Moody, GP2. So, you know, like, this team, it has a lot of potential, but it comes down to health.
And what have you seen out of Milwaukee so far in this preseason, and how do you like how they look so far?
Screw what I've seen. Let's talk about what I'm about to see. What you're about to see is the greatest pick and roll that you've seen since the 90s, since John Stockton and Karl Malone. I'm so excited on this that I've already pre-purchased my tickets to the next Detroit-Milwaukee game, just because that is the most dangerous 1-2 combo in the NBA this year. I like little bits and pieces of Giannis and Dame's game, but I think they're going to have a little bit to iron out as far as, you know, their pick and roll action and really getting Chris Middleton involved and Pat Connaughton. You know, the one thing I do love about like this team. Brook Lopez can still play. That's scary. But, you know, the reality of it is that pick-and-roll combo is going to be almost unguardable in the NBA, in a league where, really, there's not a lot of the defense being played right now.
And the last topic we got for you before we get you out of here, the rookies. Has any rookies stuck out to you so far in the preseason and even leading up to what games are those called, the summer games? Has any of them impressed you, any of them that you're expecting big things out of based on what we've seen, not just out of hearsay and hype?
Yeah, two guys for sure. Obviously, Wimby. You know, Wimby's going to be Wimby, so I'm not even counting him. I want to throw one name that people forget about. He is still a rookie, and that'd be Chet Holmgren. Chet Holmgren is looking very much Wimby-like. I don't know if you've seen his last game where he dropped 18, 7 for 8 from the 50 from a field goal, dropped two or three in 26 minutes. He's hooping. Another guy I want to throw out there, hometown Michigan guy, Imani Bates, plays in Cleveland. Might have heard of him. He is proving that he is going to be a steal in the draft. I wish Detroit would have nagged him because I think he could have provided some firepower off the bench, but I love the fact that Cleveland has given him an opportunity. His last game, 16 points, dropped 50% from the field, 4 for 9 from 3. So you're looking at a guy who's going to be able to get buckets off the bench come this season.
Mario, any of them that stick out to you?
Yeah, that was a very interesting take, and every player that he said, I totally agree with. But I'm gonna try to shift it a little bit, you know, with Lillard getting up out of Portland and trying to win his championship, you know, goals and dreams. I want to see, even though they're you know, of course they're in Portland, but it's hard out there. But I want to see what the Portland boys gonna do. You know what I mean? They're real young. Mm-hmm. They got some vets. You know what I mean? So I really want to see what all three of them are going to do down there.
Any other things you want to throw in there, Jay, before we get you out of there that we didn't touch on that I didn't throw out there topic-wise?
Off topic, because I know I'm not going to have any input on this part. But I know y'all see my Lions out here doing it big. I know y'all see that 5-1.
Yeah.
I know y'all see the top of the NFC. I know you see what we doing right now. I know you see the Michigan boys undefeated right now. You know what I'm saying? I know you see that whooping we done put on Indiana. You know, I had to talk my talk a little bit because if I don't talk it, I know my boys back at home who's listening. Shout out, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to my guys, Khalil, to my guy Gibson. You know, they gonna make fun of me if I don't talk about it tomorrow, but I just gotta put that one out there, man.
All right.
I feel you. Michigan's been very impressive. I think we're heading for a collision course here. Of course, Ohio State's got to get through or get past Penn State this weekend. We play sixth-ranked Penn State. I tell you what, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, all right there, top six. Looking real good for the Big Ten. So I think we're setting up for an interesting finish for the Big Ten and definitely looking forward to the Ohio State-Michigan matchup as well. And Detroit, I don't want to take anything away from Detroit. I'm riding high this weekend. I will throw this out there and we'll get you wrapped up. I sit there watching the game, the Cleveland Browns and the 49ers, and I tell you what, the two boys, we were sitting there watching the game and caught bits and pieces in between running back forward because I also had an issue with my car. I had to change the ignition coil and spark plugs and everything else, amongst everything else going on. But we caught the end of the game, and we came down to that 41-yard field goal that the 49ers missed, and those boys have never seen me scream, yell, and run through the house like I did. That was by far the high of any football game that I watched when we take down a 49er team that ain't lost in like 17 regular season games. Brock Purdy was undefeated at that point, and and I'm going to get into more of this about this, so I'm going to leave this for a little bit later. So I'm going to leave it that at there. Jay, thanks for joining us. Looking forward to having you back in a couple of weeks. The NBA season will be underway, and I'm sure we're going to have a ton to cram in to your segment. You be safe. I will talk to you later, and thank you.
For sure. One love, fellas. Y'all take it easy now.
Yep.
Yes,
too.
Sir.
All right.
What a transition. Talking about the Cleveland Browns real quick. Of course, we got to talk about my Browns. I'm not going to say a very impressive win, but it was an impressive win. More so the defense. Browns have accomplished things in the defensive wise. What, 100 or 1,001 or 1,002? I keep seeing two different numbers. Total yards allowed on the defense, the lowest since the 70s. Defense, honestly, is what kept us into this game and in the season so far. The first thing 49er fans want to throw out there, and it blows my mind. And even some of the sport analysts, I just listened to the Colin Cowherd. I was listening to a show while I was prepping for the show in between because I had soccer practice for this too. So I was at the soccer field from 6 to 7:30, got here and was listening to what I listened to as I prepped for everything. The first thing everybody was going to throw out there is Christian McCaffrey not playing the complete game. I think he went out like the third quarter. I think he didn't play like just the last – the fourth quarter. Debo not playing, I think, like half the game. I forget what point in the game he went out as well. And that's what everybody wants to lean on. Well, you know, Brock Purdy didn't have his two biggest weapons. And, you know, that's kind of seems to be everybody's fall to – when the fact that the Browns beat the 49ers. But let me remind everybody, because this is the excuse everybody wants to throw out there. We had no Deshaun Watson. Matter of fact, the Browns were playing with technically their third-string quarterback. Have no Nick Chubb, the number one running back in the entire NFL. So it's amazing that we didn't have Christian McCaffrey for the whole game. You had him most of the game. We didn't have him the whole game. We didn't have Debo for, like, I think he went out of halftime. So you didn't have two players for, like, half the game, but we didn't have our starting quarterback, didn't play the second-string quarterback, didn't have the best quarterback in the entire NFL, or running back in the entire NFL. And as a matter of fact, Kareem Hunt is still not in football technically football shape. You can still see it. He's gotten better. But you can tell he didn't do much without that contract and was kind of sitting on the sideline not doing nothing, or sitting at home not doing nothing. So I want to remind those 49er fans and those other sports analysts out there, that that's what your to-go is the 49ers didn't have this and the 49ers didn't have that. That wasn't going to be my excuse. As a matter of fact, my boy texted me. He's a diehard 49er fan. And I don't know if he was trying to get smack talking or whatever, and I'm like, y'all going to beat the crap out of him. So I'm not even worried about that. Like, we're a third-string quarterback. I really thought he was going to, when the game was over, come with the whole penalty thing. I think the last drive, yes, the penalties weren't favorable for the 49ers, but I'm not going to say that the game – overall game, I think it kind of balanced itself out. Yes, late, it benefited us, and that helped us win that game. But there were calls earlier in the game that kind of helped put us behind at the same time. So, and I'm always a firm believer, you'll never hear me say the Browns lost because of a pass interference. I am a firm believer if you take care of business and you do what you're supposed to do, one or two calls is not going to dictate the game. If you're, the Browns go in there and would have put on the points on the offensive side and while the defense was doing what they were doing, it wouldn't have mattered on it. We wouldn't have had to come back. And I'm a firm believer. Yes, some games, ultimately, a call does change the outcome, but you put yourself in that predicament. If you do what you're supposed to do, one or two calls is not going to call it. But if you're not doing what you're supposed to do and you let the game stay close and you make mistakes throughout the game, because we had late hits that were hit out of bounds. I mean, it was called everything, but we put ourselves in that predicament, just like the 49ers. They put the Brock Purdy offense. He was like, what, 1 for 5 in the second half or something? There was a reason why the game was that close. It should have been that close, even with your running back going out in the fourth quarter, even with you losing one of your if you would have that first half when you had everybody playing and the 49ers would have took care of business, the Browns wouldn't have been there in a call or two, wouldn't have made a difference. But anyway, we're gonna get more into NFL in here in a minute. The big topic for me this week outside of the NFL, well, two big topics. One, the Colorado Buffaloes. You managed to blow a 29-0 lead. Mario.
Yeah.
Outside of that, the epic fail and the meltdown and them end up losing the game, an interesting thing, and I never thought about this, because all these people talk about Deion Sanders. and the remarkable job he's done in Colorado. They've already won, what, two, three games, whatever it is, more than they won in two more games, than they won the entire last year. But nobody ever talked about it. It was brought up, and I never thought about this. Nobody throws out the fact that this transfer portal has made all the difference. Like, what Deion Sanders have done, been able to accomplish, even what he has accomplished to this point, winning more games than last year, if he didn't have the use of this transfer portal that these coaches get to use the way they get to use, that has never been like this before. Like, if he just went from Jacksonville State to Colorado, didn't get all these transfers, this would have been the same one and something team. The only reason that things have changed at a dramatic speed is not, I don't feel, maybe so much to do with Deion Sanders as the coach, but Deion Sanders, the name that brought all these players that transferred to Colorado, you kind of remade this team. They're talking about USC, and there was one other team they're talking about that all have been a product of basically this transfer portal. They have more starting players on the defense at USC from the transfer portal than it was like Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State. There's like five other teams combined. Is Deion Sanders, as the Colorado's coach, this good of a coach that has turned this team around to this extreme, or is this just a product of this whole transfer portal that the NCAA has opened up?
Now, this is kind of a tricky question, some, okay? And this is the reason why I say that. He's a good coach. You know, outside of what we saw when he was in the NFL and baseball, you know, on NFL Network, he's been a coach for a very long time. Okay, so eventually he's going to have players that he's been coaching that's eventually going to follow him regardless. So obviously he put some work in. You know, and the work that we all saw him do at Jackson State, he did what he said he was going to do. Okay, now you can't jump on me. You can't beat me up or talk junk about me now if I go to the big boys and the portal is just like free agency. You understand what I'm saying? Now every team knows, every coach knows what he needs on his team. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but with Deion, it's a little bit different, just because he's going to bring his own following of players that's willing to play for him. You can't knock him.
I understand that part. But people make it seem like Deion's doing things that no other coach has been able to do in the past. And
No. Yeah, I agree. I can agree on that part. He's not bringing a whole new offense. He's not bringing some defense. You know what I mean? But he's just bringing Deion, and his presence is just going to bring the players that he needs. You know what I mean? That's when recruiting is going to come in. The portal, you know, the videos, the motivational videos, you know, that's all that going to play a factor, just because that's Deion and that's what he's bringing. I think he's doing
and I agree
different.
That part too.
I think he, yeah.
I just think it happened at a faster pace. Like, I think, and we say success, even though they're probably not going to even be a 500 team or barely. So. Mm-hmm. I guess versus a 1-11 team the previous year, that is success. But I think just the success as fast, I don't think it would have happened, or I know it wouldn't happen, if it wasn't for the fact of this whole transfer portal, which I think is kind of made Deion look like he's this super god coach, because the program did a complete 180. But that had a lot to do with he was able to bring these players in that previously it would have took many years or at least multiple years to be able to change all that, because you weren't allowed to do what they're allowed to do now.
I can agree with that part too, just because look who he brought with him as far as his son, the quarterback. You understand what I'm saying?
High percent,
you know me, Hunter, but he's bringing players that every team needs. You understand what I'm saying? So, of course, people can say that, because they would love to pick up a quarterback in the portal that's going to start and do his thing, you know. But it's reasonable. It's a good argument.
Another big topic, and it's been a big topic really, I think, today and yesterday, or maybe even more so much today, because I don't know if I saw it until today. Caleb Williams, USC coach, or I'm sorry, quarterback, put out there today that whoever drafts him, he wants to be part owner of the team. I've never heard that before. Mm-hmm. Two, I don't think there's any validation behind it. He kind of got roasted, and I posted it on our Facebook page over at the 110 Nation. The internet is still undefeated because he talks about he wants to be part owner after coming off a complete meltdown against Notre Dame with three interceptions and looked like straight trash and is really beat mm-hmm. up on nobody at this point at why he's been at USC. What were your thoughts? I had to wait until I saw this more. I thought at first when I saw him talking about or the post talking about he wanted to have part ownership or whatever team drafting him, which I cannot see any team to help. Tom Brady wasn't even part owner of the New England Patriots, and look the success that they had for so many years with Tom Brady. So it just I had to actually wait until I saw multiple sources and multiple posts because I thought it was just a meme. I thought it was just somebody trying to be funny. Didn't really think that there was an actual college student that's not proved anything, just come off an epic meltdown that Notre Dame is not that good. We have talked about that. They struggled against Notre Dame. They lost lost to Ohio State. Forget the other team that they just lost to. And turn around and you guys got blown out. It was like 48 or 40-something to 20-something. I don't even remember the score. It wasn't even a close game. It wasn't even interesting to watch unless you were Notre Dame. You got a real good kick out of it. I have never heard or seen anything like this before. What was your thoughts when you saw this today?
You know, it's very interesting, right? Now, here comes a player who really hasn't played anybody, like you said, right? Now, I'm not knocking mm-hmm. about what he wears. You know, his mom used to be a nail stylist and all that type of stuff, right? So now you're going to have a player come in. He's going to sit down. He's going to have his nails done up, right? And he's going to sit in front of me and sit there and say, I want to be ownership of this team or I'm staying another year. You understand what I'm saying? Then you bring up who he played, how he played. You know, I feel like he feels really entitled. You know what I mean?
What happens next year? Yeah. You don't have a team that's willing to give you part. Like, I didn't even know that was even part of a negotiation that could even be a thing. I couldn't imagine going to Jerry Jones, look, if you're going to draft me, I need to be part owner of y'all. Like, who? What? Mm-hmm. No, like.
Yeah.
And I remember when Andrew Luck came out, and they thought Andrew Luck was going to be the next greatest thing ever. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say Andrew Luck was a bad quarterback. He was a good quarterback, but to me, he was never the greatest mm-hmm. thing to walk the face of the earth. Even when he was at Stanford, I never understood the hype, and I never understand the hype when it comes to college football anyway. And I think we've had this discussion on the show where – teams like Ohio State, we produce a lot of quarterbacks. They have a lot of quarterbacks that look great. But that's because you're playing, there's like 200 and some odd colleges. Like, not only do you play such weak teams, you're not playing 32, you're not playing 31 other best of the best with 32 teams in the NFL. But then those players, especially those that want to get scholarships, are once Ohio State fills up their scholarships and then Georgia fills up their scholarships and UNC fills up their scholarships, those that can't afford to go or going on scholarships, they're going to the next team down the line until they find the next best school that they could possibly find that's going to give them a scholarship, a free ride. So now you have five-star recruits spread across 200-some-odd colleges. You don't have the best of the best. You just have a bunch of good players spread out amongst all these colleges. So I never understood how people judge and dictate how they feel or who's going to be the next greatest thing based off what they did in either college or even high school, because that's all based on what conference you're in and where you happen to live, where your street address is. It has nothing to do with, okay, you know, so-and-so, we'll just use Caleb Williams because we're talking about Williams. Yeah, he tore up the so-and-so high school league because like they played, they had the 10 best teams in all of high school. No, you just had who lived in your particular district play on your team. Now, if you've got fortune enough, and some kids do, they just happen to all the greatest kids in that county play in that one, live in that same school district and happens to have a loaded team, then you're going to look good. I think that was probably what was a lot of quarterback out of Clemson that never lost a game until I think he went to the NFL. Trevor Lawrence, I'm trying to think of his name. Mm-hmm. There's probably a good chance that that's why he had such success in high school. If you never lost a game in 4 years of high school, odds are you were probably going to a school that most of the kids that were really good at football happened to live in, or there was a lot of shady stuff going on that all went to the same school. Either way, it's hard to go undefeated for 4 years of high school football because it's all based off of where you live, which school you go to, and all that stuff. So I've never understood the whole greatest thing. But anyway, back to the Andrew Luck. That was never a conversation. Like, I don't even know how this even started to be a conversation. I don't know if this was his first. He was the first to ever, if you're going to draft me, you're going to, I need partial owner. There's no guarantee 4 years from now that you're mm-hmm. even going to be on that team after your contract. There's a lot of quarterbacks that go into the NFL, and there's a lot of quarterbacks that don't make it into the second contract on the same team. So, and your first rookie year contract's up and you're no longer part of that team. Do you feel that you're still going to be part owner of that team and then go play for another team? And is that going to require a partial owner? Like, I don't know. It's just the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it sounds off. Like, it could be a joke. Like, to be honest, like it could be a joke or something, you know, because it just don't make no sense. And especially if you're still in college, and you're not even really, you know, I understand they give them the hype as far as being the next big thing. You know, they say that about a lot of quarterbacks, you know what I mean? But as far as you got to prove, you have to prove to me. You know what I mean? All this talking all the time that players do, you got to prove something sometime. You know what I mean? And when you go to the NFL, you're playing professional. You're playing the best of the best, and that man got to feed his family just like you do.
It's mind-blowing to me how this is even a thing, a whole conversation. I don't know. Was there anything else? Ohio State won. I wasn't really impressed with our win. I don't think the game was ever really close. It was just another game. A lot of Ohio State fans were not happy this weekend. I will let you know that. For the fact that the Buckeyes game was on Peacock, not everybody pays for Peacock service. For whatever reason, that's where you had to find the Ohio State game this weekend. You're going to tell me, with all the sports channels that there is, that Ohio State Buckeye, a top 10, even better yet, a top 5 team, couldn't be on regular TV. I'm not going to say it hurt my feelings none. I have Peacock. I have YouTube TV with the sports package. I literally have more sports channels than I know what to do with myself. There is SEC channels. There are Big Ten channels. There are sports that I didn't even know was on TV. I have the biggest package. That was the one upgrade that I think there's two or three upgrades I actually paid for, but that's the one that the first upgrade that I did. It's like $5, $10, I don't even know how much I pay, but I have like a gazillion sports channels. There's all types of racing. There's all types of sports. There's all sports on there that don't, there's not even English, and you don't even know what they're saying channels. Like, I have some, so it don't really matter to me because I happen to pay for the sports package because I want all the sports I could have. And honestly, 99% of the time, I don't watch hardly any of the channels I actually pay extra for because everything I usually want to watch is upon the basics of FS1 or ESPN or ABC or all the other channels, but I think a part of that sports package, I think the main reason I got the sports package, though, was for the Red Zone, which I love Red Zone. That might be the only thing that I actually watch on that sports package, but I have it. So I don't have to worry about, oh, my God, I can't watch Ohio State because they're on Peacock, because we have Peacock as well. There's really not, I don't think, any platform out there we really don't have or we don't share amongst the family, the ones we're allowed to share. And we pay the extra for Netflix and let people use our Netflix. I think my mom is the one that's on ours as well. I only keep up with it. We were discussing this, me and the wife were discussing this, because I'm not the emotional person. You've met me personally. You've been in my mm-hmm. store. I'm not the most emotionally person. I've never gone through what she's going through right now. I've never lost anybody super close to me. The closest person to me that I lost was my brother, but because of my father's side of the family, me and him hadn't talked in like 30 years. It was nothing between me and him. It was more to do with them two. So me and my brother really didn't know each other. The last 5 years he was alive, while I still lived in North Carolina, I'd go down to see him every year. That was the closest we got. He ended up passing. He passed away in his sleep. It's been a handful of years, but that was really the closest person. The mother of my children, which you know, she mm-hmm. lost her grandmother, grandfather, aunt, all after me and her had separated, so I wasn't really close to all that at that point in time. And then her mom had passed away after I moved back to Ohio. That was probably the closest person in her family that I was, or closest person in her family I was to, but I'd already moved back to Ohio. So I've never really had to experience that. So I'm the person that's been here kind of conducting everything. I'm that person that makes sure that things flow on the backside, kids get where they got to be, people are fed, lottery's done. That way she can spend all the time at the hospital and be where she needs to be. And I forget where I'm even going with my whole story. So I don't even know what I was talking about. I had a whole point to this, and I hate when I do that. It's not good, the first time. I get to where I'm talking about. I don't even know where I would even – are we talking about sports? What was we talking about? TV, platforms.
TV being on Peacock.
I don't really remember now. Anyway, Ohio State fans were not too happy because the fact it was on Peacock. Didn't bother me none. I'll probably remember some point later. USC, did you guys play this weekend?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. And it was
how'd
a
you guys do?
Answer, and we had what we needed to see as far as Miami coming in, being, you know, technically being undefeated with a little mishap. But they answered the question that a lot of Tar Heel fans wanted to see. You know, with Walker coming in, the wide receiver, putting up 3 touchdowns and doing his thing, it was a great game that needed to be seen from Tar Heel fans.
Do you guys play this coming up weekend?
Yeah, we play Virginia. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, but I believe we play Virginia. If I'm not, yeah.
I'm trying to pull it up real quick. It's a big weekend for Ohio State. Why did it take me all the way back to week two? I don't know what week we're in college football. Big game for Ohio State. We play Penn State. We are home for that game. Fortunately for us, the two big games coming up, Penn State and the Michigan game are both home games this year for us. That's a good thing for us. But a big test. We get the noon time slot. We will be on national TV, obviously, for this game. But a big test for us to see where we stand. Like I said, I've not been real impressed, even though we're undefeated. I don't feel any of the games were really that close that I really had to worry. But at the same time, we're not manhandling, I feel, teams like we should be, when it comes to the lower ranked teams. So we'll see. This is kind of really our first true test. Yes, you guys have the 1-5 Virginia Cavaliers, 10th ranked Tar Heels. I don't know if I could ever remember a time that when I lived in North Carolina that the Tar Heels were ever even in the top 10. I'm not saying it's never happened. I think y'all have been to a national title bowl game, if I'm not mistaken, way back in the day. So I know you guys have had good teams in the past. But I think all the years that I lived in North Carolina, I can't ever recall the Tar Heels actually being a top 10 football team. So very impressed with that situation out there for the Tar Heels and the ACC. And I, at this point, especially with the Clemson loss and Miami now with two losses outside of Florida State, I right now Florida State really kind of dictates or is in control of their future and whether or not they're making a bowl game. And then outside of that, if they have one hiccup, then UNC will be they'll be in the driver's seat. Their path will be determined by themselves, and if they can continue going undefeated, because there ain't nobody else.
They got a game this weekend. They're going to have to fight. They're going to have to show something against Duke. I'm not a Duke fan, but I'm going to keep an eye on that game for sure.
Will you be cheering for Duke?
No, I ain't going to say that far just because I'd rather let Carolina handle his own business. You know, all Carolina got to do is just handle their own business. And things will take care of themselves.
But you need help. You got to have either Florida State hiccup or somebody help you out.
I agree. I mean, but I'm not going to sit there and cheer for Duke. No, not like that. It's too early. It's you know what I mean? They just don't have a tough game. I'll put it that way.
Say this was the final game of the year, and if Florida State loses, you guys get it. Then will you be willing to cheer for Duke?
Of course, there'll be a little, come on and play some defense. You know what I mean? So I can say that. I can say that much.
I'm a little bit different with that. Like, I am so – the hatred between Duke and UNC, especially more so basketball, is the same hatred between Ohio State and Michigan when it comes to football. It is amazing that me and Jay Spearman have this great relationship, and we have never bumped heads when it comes to talking college football, because you're not supposed to even be friends. Like, you're not even – if you're a true Ohio State Buckeye, like, you don't even say Michigan. You say TTUN, that team up north, and all your M's have X's through it. Like, that's how hardcore this is. If this weekend it was, let's see, it's a little bit different because I don't feel Michigan's that much better than us or that. I think they're kind of the same with us. Now, I feel Florida State is a much better team than UNC. Not that I'm saying UNC's not a good team. They've been very impressive, but Florida State's one of those teams that they're top four, and there's a reason why they're top four. I could see myself, if I was in that boat and Ohio State was barely making the top 10, Michigan was clearly the best team in the Big Ten, and I needed them to beat Penn State, and Penn State was number two kind of situation, I could see myself, come on, Michigan, win this game. That way all we got to do is beat you when we play the last game of the year. I don't know if you all play Florida State, so that also dictates or determines things. I can't stand Michigan. I would never, ever date anybody that was a Michigan fan. Thank God I married a Buckeye. But I'm a little bit different with that. I kind of pick and choose my battles and who I need to fall in order for Ohio State to win the Big Ten, to be that one of those four teams to go into the playoff. But, yes, I feel the same way, though, with you. It's a hard thing. It's like you're sleeping with the devil when you do it. You know, go Michigan, I need you to beat Penn State so we can make the playoff. But I feel so dirty and like I need to dip my hands in holy water and rinse myself and everything else kind of thing. So I definitely feel you on that. I'm trying to think if there's any looking to see if there's any other big matchups this weekend when it comes to college football. to make life interesting. Just scoured through. I ain't seen any other big games. Obviously, the Ohio State, which I'm surprised they didn't flex that. The Ohio State, Penn State make that like the Saturday night game, especially a 3 and a 7 playing each other. Because outside of that, the only other two ranked team games that are playing is the Duke and Florida State. Everybody else is, well, that's Utah and USC. But I don't think that's going to draw a lot of attention. You're talking about two mid-teen teams, one coming off, or USC coming off that epic fail. Everybody else, it's 2 versus nobody or 13 versus nobody or 8 versus nobody or how UNC is playing a 1 and 5 team. So like, you know, a 9 versus nobody. So there's not a lot of big key matchups. The Tennessee-Alabama game, I'm sure it's going to be a good game. Alabama 6-1, 11th ranked, and Tennessee 5-1, 17th ranked. Not the national attention that we're used to, especially when talking about Alabama. They've kind of fell out of that spotlight. Not to anybody take that twisted. As much as I hate Alabama, any given Saturday, Alabama can beat anybody out there. It is still Alabama, but they've kind of fell out of that spotlight. They're not looked as such. I mean, they're 6-1 and not even in the top 10. I've seen many years that they've had one loss, even 2 losses, and still being in the top 10. So they're not seen as the normal threat that we're used to. But not a lot of big marquee matchup games that we're used to. I'm looking forward as we continue on. We only got, four more weeks of football left. I'm looking forward to these later matchups, the matchups and when they start really meaning more and more. I think we got 6 more weeks. Those important matchups, those matchups that start determining who's going for a Big Ten or an ACC or an SEC championship, that's going to possibly determine who's going to be those 4 representatives for the playoff system. So looking forward to that as well. Football. Up until this week, I had been keeping a minor lead. It was two-game lead over Mario, 3-game lead over Mario. This week, going into this week 3, we've been pretty close, and this week I had an epic fail. I went 7-8. A couple of my losses I will take. Nobody saw the Browns beating the 49ers. Nobody saw the Jets beating the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, he got them wrong, so it's not like he gained ground on it because I totally missed those. We both did it. I don't think there was probably a single person out there that put in a sports bet this weekend on the picks that got those games right. I would be shocked to find out if anybody had all 15 games and got those 2 games right on those things. They might have, as an upset, got one of them right, but I doubt it would definitely have been the 40. Well, I don't know if it would have been either one because the Jets had never beat the Eagles. And the 49ers was undefeated, hadn't lost like 17 straight regular season games, and Browns had 3rd-string quarterback in. So I couldn't imagine anybody picking those 2. I'm sure there was probably somebody out there, but I just couldn't imagine it. But Mario did outplay me this week. He went 11-4. I went 7-8. So therefore, now he owns a 1-game lead over me. He is 54-39. I am 53-40. Interesting weekend. The NFL, I felt as much as they tried to bump the Dallas Cowboys, that was a lot closer game than it really should have been, 20-17. I think, once again, the Cowboys are still tooting their own horn. There's a lot of talk about a team that's just barely escaping by, just came off a beatdown from the 49ers. Then you struggle to beat the Chargers. Other games that was on – I thought I had pulled up the right list. Hold on. Let me pull up. I think I deleted the wrong one. Previous week. Let's go back a week. Want to hit on a couple of these that were interesting late games. Of course, Thursday night started off like we thought it was going to start off. Kansas City over the Denver Broncos. Really no surprise. I got the Baltimore game wrong. I had Tennessee. I based it on having home field advantage. Wasn't thinking the fact that they were in London. I don't think it would have made a difference. I think I probably still would have picked Tennessee. I'm not sure. But I did get that one wrong. I got the Atlanta one wrong. I really expected Atlanta at home to be able to beat Washington. I don't know why. I just wasn't impressed with Washington. Chicago, Minnesota, I got that one right. You got that one wrong. I believe that Justin Fields went out injured in that game. It was probably a big factor to the Minnesota Vikings able to pull that off. Cincinnati, I got that one wrong. I really expected Seattle would only had one loss at that point to continue building off of that. Wasn't really a great game. My brother did get to go to that game. He did something for his boss, and so they had suite tickets or luxury box tickets, some kind of tickets, and my brother did get to go and enjoy that. And for his sake, I'm glad that he got to see his team win. Everybody else in my family is Cincinnati fans. I am the only Cleveland fan. Like I said earlier in the show, the boys have never seen me run, scream, yell, the way I did when the 49ers missed that field goal. Defense, probably the most impressive thing that I've ever seen. I'm glad that we have the best defense in the entire NFL. It's the only thing keeping us in these games and keeping these games at least close for us to even have a chance. I don't know if you really want to talk about the next one, but Miami doubled up somebody. the Carolina Panthers. What's going on with Carolina? What needs to happen? What at least needs to happen to make these games closer for you?
Okay, at the beginning of the season, you know what I mean, not trying to play it back, but just playing it back from then until now. You know what I mean, as a Panthers fan. All right, we got Bryce Young. You know what I mean. Hopefully that was some hope. You know what I mean. He really didn't do too much in the preseason. He comes out. And the offense is just a typical offense. So now we're looking at a no wins at the moment. You know, so as a Panthers fan, it's kind of like, who is the team that we're going to beat to get at least one win? You know, so things are really changing around as how you're looking at the Panthers right now. But it just feels off. You know, it just feels like a rebuild, like an ownership, like there's just some things going wrong within the team. You know, it just doesn't look right for right now. But a lot got to happen. It's just too much to really point at just because the players that we do have comparing to other teams. You know what I mean? It just feels weird.
Jacksonville won under Indianapolis. Indianapolis quarterback Richardson is done for the season, so they will have to continue the rest of the season when they got Minshew, I believe. Fortunately for them, Indianapolis thought about a backup quarterback situation. I realized the Browns had no real plan. As we have DTR, fifth round quarterback, was horrible 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to say that PJ Walker was horrible, but if it wouldn't have been for the defense and a dropped interception or two, we wouldn't have won that game. So luckily, there was a couple times that that game should have been done and over with. No help to our quarterback. Hopefully next week is better. Is there come to find out is deeper issues with his throwing shoulder. So I'm not sure at what point Deshaun Watson is returning. I got the next game wrong as well. I thought that the Saints, actually both of us got it wrong. I thought the Saints could handle Houston. Obviously, Houston, we got a problem. C.J. Stroud does throw his first interception, just threw one. Still an impressive beginning of the season, his rookie season, as Houston did beat New Orleans. I got the next one wrong. You got it right. Vegas ended up beating the Patriots. I see a lot of rumors that Mac Jones is in the hot seat. I don't think Mac Jones is the only problem there. I think there's a lot of issues going on. So we'll see. Los Angeles, I don't think we'll surprise either one, though, over Arizona. That's one I think everybody in the entire world got wrong. Like I said, the Jets had never beat the Eagles up to this point, which is just a crazy stat to me anyway. But the Jets end up beating the Philadelphia Eagles, giving them their first loss, as we no longer have any undefeated teams. I got this one wrong. I don't know why. I guess because they were home, that I picked the Bucs over the Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Jay Spearman has all the right to be bragging, as the Detroit Lions are looking really good out there and beat up on the Bucs. Buffalo 14-9 over the Giants. Controversial call at the end. Probably saved the Buffalo Bills. This should have been probably a pass interference. And the Giants, another opportunity to score right there at the one-yard line. I have seen NFL, ex-NFL players talk about it and talk about they wouldn't have got a pass interference, a big pass interference earlier in the same series. They probably would have got the call, but the NFL refs, 9 out of 10 times, they're not going to call them back-to-back like that to end the game.
Back-to-back.
You got one, so you probably weren't getting the second one. And once again, you know, it's one of those things that if you took care of business, if you were able to score more than 9 points, you know, when it came down to a call or no call. So that's, Giant fans, you could be upset all you want, but you put up 9 points. What did you expect? And then also the Cowboys, we both got right. Still not an impressive win. And I like how they kind of twist things. Well, Dak Prescott is 82% of the season throwing to Lamb. I can't think of his first name.
Mm-hmm.
So they throw that in at the very end, it's 82%. It's like, damn, he's got a high percentage. Yeah, but what is he throwing to the rest of the players? Like, just because he throws to 82% to CeeDee Lamb or CB, or whatever you say his name, what is he doing to the rest of the players? There's more one receiver out there. So I like how they try to twist things to make certain things sound good for players. But just not real impressed with what we're seeing out of the Cowboys so far this year. We got week 7 picks. Going to be a I was going to say
it's going to be
interesting week. Yeah, there's some games. As we get farther in the week, I think we got a lot of duds, but there is a good handful of games out of all the games that are very, very exciting. It looks like that we're going to see, especially Sunday night and Monday night game. Thursday night, I'm not really excited about this. Jacksonville at New Orleans. I don't know what's going on with New Orleans. I'm not impressed with the Saints at all. Jacksonville, they got different moments that it's like, all right,
yeah.
I see this. I can see the potential here. I can see, then it's just like the next week, it's like either they barely skate by or they lose. It's just like, where was that team that looked like they could take the South and even I'm not going to say beat the Chiefs, but give the Chiefs at least some fits in the playoff. Then the next week they show up and it's just like, can you even beat the Pittsburgh Steelers or can you even beat the New England Patriots? I'm going with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't think this is going to be an exciting game to watch. I think it's just going to be a game. It might even be a close game. I just don't.
All right.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know why this game was. I don't know why they scheduled these two teams. There's nothing about this matchup to me that says this needs to be a standalone Thursday game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no – I could see, even though these teams suck, like one or both of these teams suck, I could see different games to me that would be more exciting. Let's say Buffalo-New England is one of the games this weekend. To me, the rivalry there, that would make it an interesting Thursday night game. Washington-the Giants is another one. Even though both of them are having a horrible season, we all know that divisional game would be a lot more interesting. Or even Atlanta and Tampa Bay. But to have two teams that are complete polar opposites, there's no beef there, there's no nothing, that to me, it's just an odd Thursday standalone game that nobody – there's not a big Jacksonville following. Like, there's fans, but it's not like the Buffalo following. It's not like Kansas City following or Philadelphia following. Neither one of these teams is saying, even on a good year, saying high ratings because it's got a huge fan base. So it's just, to me, an odd Thursday standalone game. But I'm going to take Jacksonville.
All right. Trevor Lawrence, he might not play. And he don't play. I'm going with the Saints. I'm trying to get a two-game lead on you. And I feel like this game right here is a two-game lead. Can put me up there two games now. I'm going Saints. Lawrence ain't going to play today. Lawrence ain't going to play Thursday.
Next game on the list, you're going to get me to change. I'm gonna stick with my guns on this.
That's cool.
The next game on the list is the Las Vegas Raiders and the Chicago Bears. Two teams that there's not a lot of excitement. Like, there's not, I don't know. It just seems like these teams, it's almost like watching a hamster wheel. Like, they just keep running in the same circle. Like, they just don't. Mm-hmm. It's like they use all this energy and do all these different things and make all these different moves to be the same team every year, and that's it. There's, like, no advancing. There's no getting better. It's like we're running the same cycle. We go through this quarterbacks. We go through coaches. We go through, like, it's just a never-ending hamster wheel. You are first on this round. Who are you going with?
I'm gonna go ahead and lead off, make this nice and simple and quick. I'm going to go ahead and go with the Raiders.
I am going to follow suit, especially knowing that not only has Chicago not been impressive at all, Justin Fields did leave last week's game. Not sure to the severity and what to expect out, if we expect anything out of him this week. I at least know what we're going to get out of the Raiders and their situation, so I'm going to go with the Raiders as well. Next game on the list is the Cleveland Browns with the number one defense in the entire NFL and ultimately the best defense since basically 1970. And I like, and it's funny because you got a couple of different analysts, as again, that try to downplay things. Like, as soon as you throw it up, well, they did play an injured bro, and they played this team, and they played that team. So this is – but none of them break down. The only two teams that has done better than the Cleveland Browns defensive-wise since the merger or whatever, never once break down the quality of teams they play. They focus on – they just don't want to talk about how good this Browns defense is. Well, they played the injured Burrow. They played Pickett of the Steelers. This is why they've only allowed 1,001 or 1,002 yards in 5 years in five games, and why this is the best statistically since 1970-something. I would love to know if any of them have ever sat down and compared the quality of teams that the only other two teams better than them in 50 years. What the quality of teams they played, and if they feel that those were the best of the best, like, did the other two teams just happen to play the five best teams ever to walk the face of the earth, and so that this Browns accomplishment is really not that good, or you just really just don't want to talk about how good this Browns defense really is? There's not a lot of things I can brag about are now because we don't have Chubb, our offense, or our running back situation is not that great. We're on a third-string quarterback, and there were still even questions even with Deshaun Watson if he was ever going to get back to quarterback shape or anything close to like he was Houston. So I don't think we are all be-all or whatever, and I only claimed us to win the division, not to go. I don't know if I said we might win one game. So it wasn't like I was all sold even with full strength, but it just blows my mind how – they want to twist things because they don't want to talk about how good this Cleveland defense is. But anyway, I made the mistake of betting against my team, and I will go against my team. I have no problem saying I don't think the Browns are going to win. It's a tough pill to swallow last week because they won, and I could have. We could be tied right now if I had a little more confidence in the situation at Cleveland, but I don't think anybody to include. There was more 49er fans at the Cleveland game than there was Cleveland fans. That tells you the lack of confidence that we had winning this game. I don't think there was anybody that I talked to or knew, and even all the Browns fans that come into my store, that had any confidence the Browns were going to win. But I am obviously going to pick it is funny because I want to say, especially since I know their starting quarterback's not going to play, but I have more confidence that Minshew can win versus Richardson anyway. So I feel experience-wise and quarterback-wise, and it's not trying to take a shot at their quarterback, but you got a rookie quarterback versus a veteran quarterback that has played pretty good. Not great, but he's played pretty good in the opportunities he has gotten in Jacksonville. I think he played in Philadelphia. Seems like he might have played somewhere else. Minshew has. It's not like you're downgrading at the quarterback position just because your starter's out, because that is a rookie quarterback who's only played, what, four games in his entire NFL career. But I still, that defense, at this point, I don't know how many more games I will actually pick against the Browns until they show me that defense is not as legit as they seem to be. I got the Browns.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and make this nice and quick and easy, too. I think the Browns are going to rally around the situation and keep doing what they're doing. I'm going Browns, too.
Next game on the list, you are first on. You got Buffalo traveling to New England. Who you got?
I'm going Buffalo. The Patriots got a lot of stuff going on. Belichick, you think he's just staying around trying to win? I think he's like down 13 more games or something like that to be a all-time winning coach. You think it's... I think his time is getting up. I think, you know what I mean? I think his time is about to leave him.
I think he wants, and if I was him, I say this, but I don't think it really matters. You're going to go down as the GOAT at the head coaching position, regardless how his career ends at this point. I couldn't imagine one to leave on a losing season. If the Patriots got to a point that they, you know, we'll say 2 years down the road, they finished 9-8, I could say, you know what, I'm done. That all-time might be a factor. He might, I don't know. Bill Belichick doesn't seem – I don't want to use the word petty because it's not petty. That's a phenomenal accomplishment. And anybody that's that close to having the most wins all time, why would you not?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
When I say that, I'm not trying to make light of the record, but I don't think that's Bill Belichick. That just seems like I'm going to be in the league just long enough to get this record sound. It almost sounds petty, but that's not the right word. But that, you know, you understand what I'm trying to say, though.
Yeah, I understand.
I don't think the record means that much to him. He's accomplished so much. He's got all these rings. I mean, at the end of the day, the Super Bowl is what matters, not how many wins you got. Because you can win. You could be the most winningest coach ever. But if you don't have Super Bowl wins, then it doesn't really make a difference. You're not going to be known other than the coach with the most regular season wins with no Super Bowl wins, or no Super Bowl appearance or whatever. So I don't know if that matters that much to him. I hate to lose. I'm a very statistical person. I would be more petty with it. I would play until I would keep coaching until I got that. I'm not saying that would be my last season. But then again, Bill Belichick is up there in years, so we know he's coming to the end. And maybe it's a thing that he wants to prove that it wasn't Tom Brady, like that he could do without Tom Brady. At this point, and I know it's a small sample size, they kind of got a washed up Cam Newton. They got Mac Jones, which just has not been what they were hoping. So it's not like he's had many opportunities to prove that it had nothing to do or it was more him than Tom Brady at this point. But I think part of him would like to prove to the world that, yes, I could win this division without Tom Brady, or I could have a winning team without Tom Brady. And it wasn't Tom Brady that got me all these Super Bowls, or I, you know, that would be more of a thing to me, I would think. But then again, you make all this money, you have all these rings, you've had all the success. Maybe none of it means anything to him. Like, at this point, I mean, and like I said, I know petty's not the word, but all the rest of it just kind of petty numbers after all the success and rings and Super Bowls and everything you've accomplished. But I don't know. I know we're getting near. And I think that's more got to do with age versus, you know, any kind of number at this point. It's getting to be that time for him to get ready to call it quits. Buffalo is your pick. Buffalo's going to be my pick. I don't know if I'll pick New England for any games. I think there's two teams we're pretty safe for, I'm really pretty safe on not picking. One's Carolina, one's New England at this point. Actually, there might be a third team, and that's on this next game, and that's Washington at New York or at New Jersey against the Giants. Giants is another team that I don't know how many of those games I could pick. You had that comeback against Arizona, and that's kind of been really the highlight of the season for the Giants. You had Tyrod Taylor out there, no Daniel Jones. Only was able to put up 9 points and couldn't beat Buffalo. I don't see them beating Washington. I'm going to go with the Redskins. Well, the Commanders. I am still so used to saying Redskins still.
This could be a tricky game right here. Is Daniel Jones playing? Do you know? Or we don't know
I'm
yet.
I'm not 100%. No, I have not seen. I'm going to see if it shows anything on here, but I have not seen any reports. Daniel Jones is questionable with neck at this point as of today.
I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to ride the Washington train with you then. Because Barkley looked good when he came back. Now, even though they had Buffalo last week, if a couple plays, they would kick the field goal before half. You know what I mean? So, but I'm gonna go.
Oh yeah, that was horrible.
I'm going to watch. Yeah, that was horrible. With no timeouts, that's horrible. Even coaching wise, you know what I mean? You don't even do that. You know, not in the NFL. If you know, man, come on, man, give me the 3 points, man. I'll be up nine. That's two possessions.
Well, what
I'm
was horrible about
it
is you
times.
Did a running play with no timeouts, or
timeout,
yeah, I think they had no
yeah.
timeouts. Yeah.
Yeah
why? You should have took one shot at the end zone, threw the pass. If it didn't,
mm-hmm.
then you
yep.
live to see a
yeah.
field goal and you go in halftime with some points. Mm-hmm. That was
9-0.
Horrible.
9-0.
Yeah.
You can't. Yeah.
Next game on the list is Atlanta at Tampa Bay. You are up first.
I think the Baker Mayfield train is coming down. You know the momentum of that team. So I'm gonna go. I'm not real big on Atlanta, you know. But I'm gonna go ahead and go Atlanta right now.
What?
Mm-hmm.
In the words of Baker Mayfield, I'm feeling dangerous. I'm going
okay.
Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers
right.
at home, too.
There we go.
I'm not super impressed with Tampa Bay, but I think even less of Atlanta. You're at Tampa. I just see Tampa Bay coming out on top on that. Next game is Detroit at Baltimore. I don't know if this is more of hopes because I need Baltimore to lose, or more of how impressed I've been with Detroit. And Atlanta, Baltimore's is still a pretty good team. So either I'm feeling really impressed with Detroit or really hoping Baltimore, because even though I feel Detroit's a better team, I don't feel it's a clear cut. They're that much better than Baltimore, but I feel they are better than Baltimore. You throw in home field advantage for Baltimore, this makes this game to me look like it's going to be a close game. I think Detroit will find a way to win this game in Baltimore. I'm taking Detroit.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, Detroit, they're definitely doing a lot of good things, and I'm on a Detroit train, too. I'm going to Detroit.
Next game, we start hitting our Sunday night games. You got the Steelers in L.A. against the Rams. Who you got?
See, one thing about the Rams, boy, I'm going to go, even though I want to say Steelers, but, dang, I'm going Rams. That's tricky, but I'm going Rams.
There ain't nothing tricky about it to me. I don't see nothing out of the Steelers this year. I'm not saying that the Rams are impressing me any, but they're a good team. They just ain't found their way yet. Coming off a win themselves, better team at home. I'm taking the Rams. Arizona at Seattle. Seattle coming off the loss against the Cincinnati Bengals in a close game. Much better than the Arizona Cardinals, obviously. I think Seattle bounces back at home. I think little too much to be made of this win. It seems like every time Seattle wins, oh, well, Geno Smith is back. We're seeing the Geno Smith we thought we. But as soon as they lose, and it's like, yeah, we was fooled by Geno Smith, and they win again. Well, this is the Geno Smith we thought we was getting. There's too much made of each week because it's a win, it's an all-time high, then you lose. Wow, we were so wrong about it. It's the same old. Just let the games play out. The Seattle's what, 4-1, 4-2, 5-2, something like that. It's not like they're having a bad season. You're going to lose some games. They lost to a Cincinnati team that is good. Burrow's getting healthy. I'm not so necessarily enjoying that fact, knowing that we still got to play them one more time. The only plus of that is we beat them second time. That won't be thrown out that we beat a injured or coming off injury Burrow. We can just say we straight up beat a healthy Burrow. There's no doubt in my mind we'll beat the Cincinnati Bengals by that time it rolls around. But Seattle 3-2. I'm going to take Seattle over Arizona, who's sitting 1-5, and that win over Dallas is all they can muster up, and I think they just put everything they had into that one game because that's a big deal. They don't like each other, and you kind of got the national spotlight for that one win, but I don't see too many more wins coming out of this Arizona team this year.
Yeah, I'm definitely on the same ride as you. I'm going to Seattle also.
Next game on the list, this is probably not going to be a fun game to watch, and that is the Green Bay Packers and the Denver Broncos, two teams that really have not done anything this year, two teams that there was hope. Oh, we got Jordan Love finally getting a start. We're seeing why Jordan Love was still sitting behind Aaron Rodgers. And they thought bringing Sean Payton in for Denver, that we was going to finally see the Denver Broncos do something. And no, you got first pick on this one. Good luck with it. Who you got?
I know, right? I know. This game right here is kind of like one of the really good coin flip games. But somebody's going to have to get on track. Somebody's going to have to do something. You understand what I'm saying? And I just don't see Russell Wilson and Sean Payton going down how they're going down together. You know what I mean? With Sean Payton talking all that junk. So I'm going to go ahead and lean on the Denver Broncos one time and see if they can pull out this win.
Well, there's going to be a lot of leaning, so let's hope that the Denver Broncos can hold all this weight because I am riding with you. I had already wrote down Denver. I'm going Denver. I don't know. I'm just not the Jordan Love fanboy. I think Green Bay didn't think their path out. They were so ready just to be done with Aaron Rodgers. I'm not quite sure. You're ready to move on to a quarterback that really has never done anything, and showing us why he was a backup. And I know there's a lot of turmoil, and it's just crazy in Denver. But you have your home. The other team, fortunately for you, was not a good team. There's no reason that you can't win in Mile High. You got all these advantages, the altitude, the air quality, all that stuff. A lot of things go into your favor this weekend against a weak team. There's no reason that you can't beat the Green Bay Packers. Next two games, these might be the games to watch for me. The Sunday night game, or the Sunday evening game, I'm sorry. And the this is Sunday night. Where's the, is there not a Monday night game? Or is it just not cut and showed it? Oh, well, there, yeah, both Sunday. Yeah, both Sunday, or the Sunday afternoon game, and I thought that was Sunday night and Monday night. There was one more game. It wasn't showing that game. That Monday night games would be boring. Unless Minnesota shows up like the Browns did. So the first Sunday game is Kansas City at home at Chargers. Like I've said many times this year already, I feel all roads go through Kansas City, so obviously I'm going to pick Kansas City. Chargers coming off of a close loss to the Cowboys, a game that really gave me another reason not to be impressed with the Chargers. There's no reason you should have lost to the Cowboys. They did not do anything that was that impressive. They didn't. It was, what, 21-17, 20-17. It was a close game. Like, it wasn't like a shootout and you lost, or, you know, a bad call. It just, both teams just played mediocre. But with that being said, the division part of this will make this an interesting game. Anytime you get Kansas City and the Chargers, or Kansas City and the Raiders, or even Kansas City and Denver most years, maybe not so much this year, the games are always interesting. They're chippy. Just like, I hate the Baltimore Ravens and I hate the Steelers, but I love watching them two play each other because there are fights. There's chippiness. Like, it is intense to watch. You got to get the same thing with this rivalries out here out west. Makes the game fun and interesting to watch. I think it'll be a close game, but I think at the end of the day, it will be Kansas City's game. Who you got?
Yeah, I think I'm also going Kansas City, but the Chargers could have won that game. If Hubert would have made a couple more better throws in that game, and if the defensive line would have tackled Dak Prescott, because all Dak Prescott's big plays, all Cowboys' big plays were Dak Prescott getting out of there and making plays on the run. But I'm going Kansas City.
It's crazy because I don't get to see a lot of Justin Herbert games. Most part, when I see it, just highlights. So you only see the good passes. There's not a lot of highlights. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to show highlights of people making bad passes, but it's not a overwhelming a lot of times. And so you just go based off of, oh, Justin Herbert this and Justin Herbert that. Then you sit there and watch a game, and it's just like, this is not what I keep hearing about. I'm like, these throws were not good. They were short. They were off mark. Like, I just didn't see the Justin Herbert everybody always pumps up all the time. Like I said, that's a game that they should have won. I'm not saying that Dallas played so bad, but neither one of them just was overwhelmingly impressive. It just kind of was a game that just kind of flowed through, and then you just had a winner. Like, I don't know. Sunday night's game will probably be the game to watch. I hope that Sunday night game does not let us down. You got the 5-1 Miami Dolphins in Philadelphia for the 5-1 Eagles. Two teams that are looking good. The only issue with Philadelphia is Hurst has already thrown more interceptions this season than he threw the entire previous season. And A.J. Brown is looking like he's not real happy out there, not getting all the balls thrown to him that he's wanting. So I'm kind of curious to see, and obviously they have different coordinators, so things have changed up a little bit out there. So it's going to be interesting. I'm not sure how I feel about these Dolphins. Like, you got this coach that just seems like he is the coolest coach. And you see him in his drip every weekend, the Air Force Ones and the sweats. And, like, he just seems like the type that you'd roll up to his house and he would just, like, here and hand you a fat blunt and, like, mm-hmm. hey, just chill mm-hmm. kind of. Like, that just – but I'm waiting to see when they actually play, like, the Eagles or the Chiefs or some at the Detroit Lions to see how Miami, because right now Miami's not really beat anybody. And it's not got nothing to do with their fault, just the way their schedule is. They've not beat up on a bunch of teams. They've just been playing their schedule. Everybody got wrapped up in that 70 points, which didn't impress me none, because I forget who they played, but they beat, who was it? Oh, Denver. So they didn't impress me none.
Yeah.
But you beat a Chargers team who has a losing record. You beat the Patriots, losing record. Denver, who's won one game. The Giants, who's won one game. You beat the Panthers, who would not won a game. Like, you've not beat anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately for them, they don't got to worry about Aaron Rodgers. Well, we'll talk about Aaron Rodgers here in a second. You got a Philadelphia game. You actually got an opponent. Then you play New England. That should be another give me. Then you play Kansas City. So two of your next three games will really give me more of an idea of what this Miami team is really about. Fortunately for them, except for the last three games of the season, after that is kind of a coach. You got Vegas, Jets, Washington, and Tennessee, and Jets again. So actually the next one, two, three, four, five games. And until you hit Christmas Eve when you play Dallas, Baltimore, and Buffalo, that you really get tested again. So Miami could post 3-4. They could go easily 17, so 12-5 easy based off their schedule, even if they lost all the five, so it would be 11-6. Five tough games they got left, the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Ravens, and Buffalo. I don't think they'll lose all those, but the rest of their schedule makes it with their 11-win team easily. Their record's a little misdeceiving to me. Everybody wraps up about this Miami team, but, like, don't get me wrong. Like, that culture there just seems like that's just where to be. Like, I couldn't imagine playing for that culture. Like, it just seems like, hey, if you come in and do your stuff, put in the hard work, yo, we go in the club later on, we're chilling, coach will be there. Look, you know, kind of, I'm not saying that's the atmosphere. It just seems like it just chill. Mm. Like, come in and do your thing, work, bust your butt, but we having fun doing this, and we looking good mm-hmm. doing this. This is going to be a tough pick. I am glad you get to go first on this one, just because there's concerns in Philadelphia as well. Not only did you lose to mm-hmm. the Jets, but you're starting to get some disgruntled stuff. Like I said, the mm-hmm. AJ Brown thing, the interceptions is an issue. Hurts is not looking as accurate or as consistent. Your pick first. Who are you going with?
Like you said, it is kind of tricky. You know, the last time we was in this predicament with the Dolphins and Bills. You know what I mean? Like, let's see what the Dolphins about. You know what I mean? They ain't really play nobody. Now they're playing the Bills, and they lose. You know what I mean? So with this time, and now it comes up again. I'm pretty sure they talked about it in the locker room the same way. You know, this is the next opportunity against the Eagles. Now the Eagles got a little situation going on. I really do believe, because I think teams now are picking up on what Hurts is struggling in, and what he struggles in
uh-huh.
is blitzing. You know what I mean? If you don't get the ball out
uh-huh.
in 2.5 seconds, you know, any time after there, he's taking a lot of sacks, a lot of interceptions. So I think, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and go Dolphins one time. You know, I'm just trying to keep the faith in the Dolphins and see what they can do.
Oh, I already wrote down the exact same team. I guess we're both riding these Dolphins into this week. Like I said, it's not that I'm that impressed with the Dolphins. They're fun to watch. Like, I just couldn't imagine being a fan or being part of that organization, because it just looks like a fun time. The strength of schedule is my concern with them. Is it smoke and mirrors, or is there legitimacy behind it? We're going to get an opportunity. Fortunately for them, though, like I said, there's a lot of bickering back and forth behind that whole Philadelphia organization. So this may play into a factor, and then does that mean that the Dolphins show us something, or are the Eagles falling apart enough that the Dolphins win? So that will be the next conversation when we have next week if we get this pick right. Final pick, Monday night. I think this is going to be a no-brainer. I think the 49ers just bounced back from the loss to the Cleveland Browns. Minnesota, 2-4, has not played their best of anything. I'm going to take the 49ers. I think they bounce back. I think Brock Purdy has a solid game. I'm not going to say a phenomenal game, but I think we're looking at 70-75% completion, 250-ish yards, a touchdown or so. I'm not sure if McCaffrey, we'll see if it shows on here, if he is expected to play or if he's still out. McCaffrey, he's not on my list. They're not showing any of those. Trent Williams looks like NIR rest. He's questionable. So Trent Williams, I wasn't big on the whole either game. I wasn't a fan of one of the 49ers coming out and pushing the Browns players around, trying to cause a pregame scuffle. I don't know if you thought that was just going to disrupt what the Browns were trying to accomplish. Just like I wasn't a fan, it seems like the Cowboys turn around and did the exact same thing. Like they saw, well, if they get things all rowdied up, you know, because I wasn't a fan of what the Cowboys and the Chargers and their pregame thing as well, but definitely not the Browns. I think something should have been done. That was a little above and beyond what should have been allowed and tolerated. But anyway, I don't see either one being questionable or anybody, anything. So I feel confident that the 49ers has a solid defense. It wasn't like we ran away with the game. As a matter of fact, we mainly kicked field goals. I think we only had one touchdown in that whole route. I think we ended up kicking four field goals to get to our 19 points, if I'm not mistaken, how we finished that. I will pick the 49ers. Who you got? You there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
I was like, I started looking at the screen. I was like, damn, did I screw that up? I thought I scheduled for a little bit longer because we've been going longer. But did you pick the 49ers?
Yeah, I'm picking the 49ers.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers. They saw him on the sideline. They saw him throwing the ball. Being mobile this soon after his surgery. There's even rumors of possibly making it back before this season is over. I know that he went and didn't he get the same surgeon that, was it Kobe? That he used the same surgeon that did his Achilles? Obviously you pay the money and get the best of the best. It pays dividends. Do you think he returns this year? And are you impressed with it?
It sounds impressive, you know what I mean, just because you hear rumblings about it, you know what I mean? You see him walking, you see him throwing the football, but it's going to take a lot for him to be on the field. Do I put it past Aaron Rodgers? No. But is the Jets going to be in contention enough where, you know, he's going to want to come back and play? But it's impressive, yeah, but he ain't really doing too much. He's just really walking and throwing the football right now. You know what I mean? Once he gets to jogging and running, it's just hard to say, you know, because we haven't seen anybody come back so quick, you know what I mean, in the NFL season. And the quarterback would be the ideal position to come back this quick from, you know what I mean? But would I like to see him? Yeah, I would. I would like to see him come back.
Yeah. That's our picks for this week. Great time tonight. Let them know real quick where they can find you, social media, website, fair, festival, whatever you got going on real quick. Get things wrapped up.
Okay. All right, that'll work. You can check us out at Carolina Sports Plus on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can check us out online at CarolinaSportsPlus.com. We're going to be out in Fayetteville at the Dogwood Festival Saturday and Sunday. So if you're in the Fayetteville area, want to talk some sports, buy some merchandise, most definitely come check us out.
Don't forget, Monday nights, we got the 110 Nation Race Chat Live, exclusive. Chris, Yellow Caution Flag, Crate, and myself sit down. We interviewed different drivers. We had Dr. Patrick Starpi, I'm going to jack up his name every time, on the show. He was actually a prior guest of the 110 Nation about 10 years ago. He got his doctorate degree, still does racing. It was a great interview, but we do that on Monday nights, Race Chat Live on Tuesday nights to get you guys caught up in everything in the racing world the previous week and get you prepared for the upcoming week. And then also Thursday nights, you got Safety Success. Jared Hudson sits down, usually interviews about two or three people, some drivers, some vendors, some people that's got to do with the safety in racing. The highest rated show on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. Make sure you guys check those out. You can also check out the site, the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network.com. We've got our shows, our videos, our blogs, all the links to all the different platforms we are on, so you can catch the show anywhere you listen to your podcast. Like us on Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports, Carolina Sports Plus. Follow us on Twitter at 110 Nation, Carolina Sports Plus as well. Next Wednesday night, Mario and myself will be back in the studio, the Carolina Sports Plus studio, to sit here and do this again. Until next week.